Tuesday, the 11th of September, Rabbi Pesach Kron, Reflections on the 9/11, Emunah on B'tochen in Difficult Times.
It's a tremendous chus to be able to come back here once again to speak to all of you. I thank the Mordechai Asher, Rabbi Stern, for joining us this morning. I thank Johnny Rebson for organizing Torah Way, and to my dear friend Duda Yifkowitz for coming up with the wonderful title, 9/11. It was his idea that we should speak today about it. Of course, in America, it's a very, very serious day. It's a day of tremendous introspection and mourning, as we'll hear in a moment. And I just, again, want to thank Dov Harris, who has made all the arrangements. I know he's listening in the car, so I say hello to your son, Rafi, on Kol HaLashon, and you should have a good day in school. A few weeks ago, I had a bris. Many of you know that I'm a Moyo. It was a Shabbos bris up in the Catskills in a place called Vacation Village. Obviously, the fellow doesn't live there all year. His in-laws have a place there, and he was there for Shabbos. And, of course, after the bris, he got up to speak. And what he said was absolutely remarkable. He started out by saying that he has tremendous hakaras hatoyv for the Rebbeinu Shalom giving him another child. And then he spoke about a child that I had done a bris for a number of years ago. He said it was a number of years ago that this little boy was 3 years old. His older son was 3 years old. In the middle of the night, he started crying. And the kid was crying so hard, the mother and the father woke up. They ran in to see what's wrong. Maybe the kid fell out of bed, because it was with such intensity. No matter what they tried to do for that child, they couldn't stop. They couldn't stop him from crying. They tried to feed him. They tried to change his diaper. They tried to hold him, to run him to hold him. For 2 hours straight, this kid cried. After 2 hours, he went back to sleep as if nothing happened. The next morning, his mother normally would take him to a daycare center, and she was exhausted because she had been up with him for 2 hours. So he decided he's going to go late to work, and he will take his child to daycare center. So he was 20 minutes late that morning. When he got out of the train that morning, the second plane had just hit the Twin Towers. He worked on the 80th floor. He would have been right exactly where the plane hit. Still to this day, he has no idea why the Rebbeinu Shalom made it that his child should cry like that. A few days after 9/11, I went to Menachem Mavol, a fellow by the name of Yankel Zemanowitz. Yankel Zemanowitz lost a brother, Avremel, in 9/11, in the Twin Towers. Yankel Zemanowitz used to live in our neighborhood, so I knew him. He hadn't been there for many, many years. He was there when your brother Alfred Stern was there. And so, of course, it was a tremendous tragedy. Frum fellow, many, many frum people, Nebuch lost their lives. And as I was speaking to Yankel, he told me the most remarkable thing. He said, you know, I daven with my brother every single day. We've been davening for years. Avremel was not married. He was an older fellow already. Every morning we daven together. He started crying, and he said, that morning after davening, he came over to me and he just held me. And we embraced. We never embraced after a shul. Never. We've been davening for years. He just held on to me. He wouldn't let go. A few hours later, he was no longer. So when I heard both of these stories, both about Avremel Zemanowitz and about this fellow, Mr. David, whose son was crying, I was reminded of a Gemara. The Gemara is in Megillah Gimel Amud Aleph, and the Gemara tells about Daniel. Daniel Yud Pasuk Zayin. V'ra'isi ani Daniel levadi es amara. Daniel says that I saw a vision. V'anoshim asher hoyu imi, and the people that were with me. The Gemara says later that it was Chag Zechariah Malachi. Lo'iro es amara. They didn't see what I saw. Aval harada gedayla nofla aleihem. But somehow they had a terrible fear. Daniel says, I saw a vision. I saw it. They didn't see it. But they were afraid. And they ran away. And they ran away to hide. So the Gemara says, even though they themselves, Haggai and Chariah, didn't see it, but their mazel saw it. In other words, sometimes a person has a certain sensation, a certain feeling, that he himself doesn't understand. So Zot Rashi, what is mazel? Sar shall call Adam l'mayla. Each one of us has a malach that's in heaven. And the malach is sometimes able to see something that the person himself is not able to see. And so therefore the malach of that little child understood that something might happen, and he literally saved his father's life. You should know that it changed his whole life. He continues working, but every single day since then, he learns for a few hours in Yeshiva Chofetz Chaim. He changed his life because he felt that his child, through the intervention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, saved his life. What did Avraham Zamanowitz, why did he hug his brother? If you would ask him before the hours, before 9 o'clock that morning, on that Tuesday morning, people would say, he would say, I don't know why I hugged him, but his mazel saw it. I remember the next morning, of course, everybody bought every single paper, everybody was shaking, literally. And I remember the New York Times, there was a headline of an article. And the headline said three words: now they know. I couldn't get over that, because that said everything. In other words, till then, till 9/11, people weren't sure, are the Arabs the curse of the world? Are the Muslims the curse of the world? But now they know. Now they knew, the whole world knew, what kind of shirek lecha rishayim, what kind of curse they are to the world. But I think it's very important that we shouldn't fool ourselves. Avadat the Muslims, avadat the Arabs. But you know, there's a pasuk that we all have to know. It says in Yeshaya Yud, pasuk tezvav, Hayispor hagarzen al hachoysev boy? Can the hatchet feel glory over the one who cuts with it? Im yisgadel hamasor, can the saw feel greater al manifa than the one who wields it? In other words, imagine if somebody's chopping wood, somebody's chopping down a tree. So the hatchet is going to say, ha, you see, look how strong I am. I'm the one that cut down this tree. So the Yeshaya is telling to the hatchet, don't be ridiculous. You're only the shliach. Without the person, you're nothing. How you spoil our garden? Is the hatchet going to glorify itself? So there's no question that we have to understand, especially when we see these things with mazel happening. When I say mazel, I mean the tsar, Shalkol Adam, is involved, and obviously the Rabbeinu Shalalam, it was his idea that this terrible, terrible, terrible catastrophe should happen. The reason we hate the Muslims and we hate the Arabs, Yimach Shemom V'Zichron, like we hate the Nazis, is because they decided to be the Shlichim. They certainly had the Bechira not to be the Shlichim. But when something terrible happens, we have to understand that it's all Miyad Hashem. There were many, many different Ramazim about 9/11. Many of them are silly, many of them are ridiculous, and many of them are interesting. Here in Europe, you wouldn't say 9/11, you would say 11/9, right? Because yeah, that's how you write it. And somebody mentioned to me something very interesting. 11/9 is really the 11th month and the 9th day in the Yiddish calendar, that's Tisha B'Av. 11/9 in the Lee Yiddish calendar is the day of Churban. So the way Europe would say this date is a day of Churban, it was a day of Churban in the world. And what I think, that ever since 9/11, all of us in America realized, finally, that we're in Golis. I remember a number of years ago, there was a Rosh Hashiva, Rav Moshe Chodosh. Some of you surely know him. I remember he came to our home, and he was there Friday night. And we were sitting around the table, there were many guests, and it was just a beautiful, beautiful Suda. And he turned to me, he was sitting at the head of the table, and he turned to me and he smiled and he said, Shemaka Golis. You know, you're living in America, you're comfortable, the Rosh Hashivas are coming to your house, you're able to support them, and everything seems so wonderful. When the buildings collapsed, the confidence of every American collapsed. Everybody understood. There's no such thing as being safe. There's no guarantee of not being vulnerable. There's no such thing as not being frightened or intimidated. And I couldn't get over a pasuk in Tzfanya. Tzfanya Gimel Pasuk Vav. The Rebbeinu Shlom says, through Tzfanya, Hichrati Goyim, I eliminated the nations. Noshamu Pinoisam. Noshamu Pinoisam means I made desolate their high towers. I desolated those tall towers. I destroyed the streets so that nobody could go through. Just 2 days ago, I was at a bris, and I recognized a fellow. I had done his son a number of years ago. When I grew to Israel, there was a fellow who made a movie about 9/11. He made a video. And this fellow was interviewed. And I said to him, you know, I'm coming to London and I'm going to be speaking about 9/11. I remember you were on the video. Tell me what happened. I don't remember what you said, but I remember you were there. And he said that he had also come 20 minutes after the plane had hit. And as he went out of the subway, all of a sudden this tremendous, I'm sure many of you have seen it, that tremendous black plume of smoke came towards him. He turned to run, but it was faster than him, and he was engulfed in it. And he said, for sure, he thought his life was over. And it's interesting what a Yid does. He said all he could do was hold his yarmulke and touch his tzitzis. He said he knew he was going to die, but he wanted to die like a Yid. So he held his yarmulke, and he held his tzitzit, and he was running. He was running because he knew that he couldn't get out of it. 10 minutes he was in that black smoke. That's how the plume was coming. And Elach HaYid, even when he realizes that it might be over, understands that he's still a Yid. But the next pasuk in Sefaniah tells us why these terrible, terrible things happen. Amarti, the Abishah says, Ach Tiri Yoisi, why aren't you afraid of me? Why don't you respect me? Tikhi Musar. Learn Musar. V'leikareis Mo'ina. And then your home, your place will not be terminated. But you get up and you continue your terrible deeds. Maybe it's not a nice thing to say, but I want to say what's in my heart, because I've never, except one other time, which I'll tell you in a minute when I spoke about 9/11. Why does America deserve such a terrible, terrible einish? Why does America deserve to have such bizyonis in Iraq? Every day America is ripped asunder. People, whether Bush is right or Bush is wrong, but it's a bizyon. America's a bazillion all over the world. I think it's because of the immorality and the depravity that America allows to happen in its country. I don't even want to say what type of marriages. I don't want to say in the Beis Medrash. But to me, that America should allow it and other people should learn from it is a curse on the world, because America sets a standard. And the Rebbe Shalom is angry. The Rebbe Shalom is angry at the Welt, at the immorality of the Welt. And the Rebbe Shalom is sending a signal. Ach, Tiriyosi, why don't you wake up? Tikhi Musar, take Musar from me. So today it's all over. In Germany, in England, in France, wherever the Muslims are, terror in the world. And who are these people? That again, the Pasuk tells us, incredible. In Hazinu, Heim Kinuni B'loi El, Kiasuni B'havleyem. The people, they got me angry. They don't serve a God. V'ani akniyem, I will provoke them below om. Who are these people? A people without a nation. Who are the Palestinians? Who are the Intifada? Who are the Hezbollah? They have no nation. Wandering nomads, but going novel achisem, with a disgraced nation, I will make them angry. So, listen to this. It's not to be believed. You take a look at the Das Kainu, you look it up later. Dvarim Lamed Beis Chof Aleph. Vani Akniyem B'loi Eim. The Das Kainu says, Mida Keneged Mida. Venira Sha'al HaChoyblim. It's going on the terrorists. That's what the Das Kainu says, not what I say. Das Kainu. Sheheim Matsirim Li Yisrael B'chol Mokai. They anger, and they provoke Yidden wherever they are. Vaheim Koyrim Loyam Shereihem B'zuyon Mikol Tachsiteh B'nei Adam. A low-life type of people, without a flag, without a nation, without a country. And that's what the Abish is telling us. Eicho yidef echad elof. Four guys in a plane. They're not chasing 1,000. They're chasing millions. Every single one of us that's ever in a plane today. Anyone that goes through an airport. They're chasing us. We have to be checked. We have to take off our shoes. We have to do everything. Why? Because of 16 guys that got on a plane, that's Eicho Yidef Echad. It's Alfa Elofim. Vishnaim in Nisir Avava in Lekitsura Mechoram. So how does the Yid look at this? I believe that in a time like this, in a Shreklecha time, and in all difficult times, a person begins to wonder, why are you doing this to us? And a person begins to have crash hashes of Hamuna and Betochen. And it's a difficult time. It's a difficult time. The Shrek L'Chatzorot. Not only in America, it's in England, and it's in Eretz Yisrael. Wherever you go, you hear Nebuch, young people dying, young almonas, kids that are so sick, Rachmona Litzlan, so many terrible, different things. And a person could lose hope. I want to share with you something very, very personal. I remember when I was 21 years old, my father, Shalom, was very sick. And he went to a hospital in Manhattan, and we stayed with Rav Schwab, Rav Shimon Schwab, for Shabbos. My brother, Kalman, and I. And my father, Olav Shalom, had been very close to Rav Schwab, because Rav Schwab, before he came to Washington Heights, was a Rav in Baltimore. He was a Rebbe in Neir Yisrael, a Yeshiva in Neir Yisrael, and my father was a Talmud of his. So they had kept up some shaykhahs. So I remember that Shabbos, after davening, my brother and I went to the hospital, and Rav Schwab waited for us, and then we had the Suda together. So when I came in and I sat down at the table by Kiddush, Rav Schwab said to me, "How's your father?" So I was 21 and I made this comment. I said, "I have betochen that he'll be okay." And Rav Schwab got very serious with me. And he said, B'tochen does not mean that your father's going to be okay. B'tochen means that Hashem has a master plan, and whatever will happen, hopefully you will understand why it happened. But it doesn't mean things are going to be okay. There's an expression, why bad things happen to good people. People say, bad things don't happen. That's ridiculous. Of course bad things happen. 9/11 is a bad thing. A child dies young is a bad thing. But talking means that we understand that bad things happen. But there is a reason. We may not understand it. And that's what Rav Schwab was saying. But talking means that a person has confidence in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Somebody loses a job. Somebody loses a whole financial empire. That's not a bad thing. Who are we kidding? It's a terrible thing. But we don't understand the whole plan. Eventually, hopefully we'll understand that it was for the best. But right now, a person looks at it. I remember we were standing outside Ponovich, in the town of Ponovich, and I told the people, somebody once went over to the Ponovich Rav, and he said to him in Yiddish, Ich daven zu der Eibishter, an er empfert nicht. I'm davening to Hashem, and he's not answering. So the Ponovich Rav said, Er empfert nicht. He's answering. No. No is also an answer. And those of you who remember in 1994, when that young soldier, Nachshon Waxman, one of seven boys, was never kidnapped by Hamas, Yimach Shemom V'Zichrom, and the whole world was trying to put on pressure on Hamas that they shouldn't kill him, and Friday night he was killed. And Motzei Shabbos by the Levaya, his father, Rabbi Yehuda, told the Rav, Rav Ilan, to say something that will stay with Klal Yisrael till Mashiach comes. He said, I want everyone to know, the father, could you imagine, lost the son? And he said like this, we davened to our father so that our son should be saved. And our father said no. And a father has a right to say no. That's emunah. That's betochen. That's understanding that not always do good things happen, but a person does not lose his faith. And again, when those buildings collapsed, confidence fell. Betochen fell. But betochen, again, doesn't mean that bad things don't happen. Betochen means that hopefully one day we'll be able to understand it. So how do you live with it? How do you live with it? So listen to a story that happened with Rav Mordechai Schwab, the brother of Rav Shimon. Rav Mordechai Schwab, in the last year of his life, was very, very ill. There's a fellow in Brooklyn, his name is Rav Zev Smith, very big Talmud Chacham, gives many, many shurim. He was a Talmud, but Rav Mordechai Schwab, for many, many years. Now that he lives in Brooklyn, obviously he doesn't get to see the Mashgiach, when the Mashiach was alive, but he was a Talmud of his in Yeshiva Beis Shraga, which is in Muncie, New York. So every Yontif, every Chol HaMoed, he used to go to visit his Rebbe. So Rav Zev Smith told me that the last Chol HaMoed Sukkos, that he was going to go there, the family called him before he got there and said, we know that you've been here Chol HaMoed Pesach, and we just want you to know that your Rebbe, our father, our grandfather, you will not recognize him because he's so pale and he's so frail, and we just want to prepare you because you haven't seen him in 6 months. And Rabbi Smith told me that for all the preparation that they gave him, still and all, when he walked into the room, he almost fainted. Because Nebuchadnezzar Schwab was so sick and so pale, he couldn't get out of bed. Rabbi Schwab was a perceptive person. He sees his Talmud. So the first word he says to him, so listen, ich leb besimcha, I'm living in happiness. He says, ich leb besimcha, I'm living in Yom Kippur. I couldn't daven Yom Kippur. You think, I didn't want to daven Yom Kippur. I wanted to daven Yom Kippur. Hashem didn't want I should daven. I didn't make myself sick. Hashem made me sick. He said, I can't learn anymore because I can't concentrate. You think I don't want to learn? But that's what Hashem wants. And if that's what Hashem wants, listen to what he said. Chayim b'tzaynai. I'm living according to his will. An ingenious way of understanding these words in the Pasuk, Apidero Drush Kidega Ba'apa Chayim b'tzaynai. Chayim b'tzaynai. I'm living the way the Rabbeinu Shlalem wants me to live. That means if a person is ill or a person loses finances, that's what the Eibishter wants from him at that point. The Rabbeinu Shlalem tests us. He tests us in wealth. He tests us in poverty. He tells us in health. And he tells us in sickness. Chayim b'tzaynan. That's how a person has to understand when he goes through a difficult time. It's not necessarily that he did something terrible. It's a nesayon. And chayim b'tzaynan. And I'll tell you an amazing thing that happened with Rav Pam. Rav Pam writes in his wonderful Sefer Torah L'Melech, and it's a sefer that everybody should get because it's written in Ivrit Talah, very easy Hebrew. And he gives tremendous yesodos on many different topics. And he tells an interesting story. You can mamash read between the lines and you see how embarrassed he is to tell the story. It was in 1976. He was away with his wife in a place called New Hampshire. New Hampshire is a state in the upper right corner of the United States. It's a very beautiful place, and he had gone there to be there for a few weeks in the summer. This was the last day that he was going to be there, next to the last day. They already cleaned out, come out the whole house, and all of a sudden he felt very faint. And he thought that he was dehydrated and that he was going to fall. So he said to his wife, I need a citrus fruit. I need a fruit. I need some juices. She didn't have anything more in the refrigerator. So she ran next door, and the only thing that she could get was a lemon. So she got was a bitter lemon, and she gave it to Rav Palm, and he writes, you can see how he writes, that he ripped it open and he sucked out the juices in a ravenous way, which was certainly not his nature. He was a fine, quiet, edel person. But he got the juices in his body and he didn't faint. The next day he met one of his boys. He has three sons. So he says, and he's writing, he said, I was talking to my son, and I said to my son, you know, I wasn't feeling well yesterday, and Mama gave me that bitter lemon, and I ripped it open. And I've never seen anybody do anything like that, to rip open a lemon. And he writes, as I was talking, he says, I remembered all of a sudden an incident that happened more than 20 years ago. He said there was a rov from the Bronx that was very ill. He doesn't say who the person was. And he went to visit him in a place. Now, the person was very sick. He was in a hospice. So he figured, what could he bring him? He said, I'll bring him some oranges. And he asked this rov if he wants the oranges. And the fellow said he didn't want it. So there was another person, an Elchayid, that was next door in the next bed. And he was Nebuch already paralyzed from the chest down. He was able to move his hands, but he couldn't talk anymore. So Rav Palm saw that his friend doesn't want the oranges. So he turned to this fellow and said, maybe you want the oranges? And the man grabbed the orange, he ripped it open, and he sucked out the juices. So as Rav Palm was talking to his son, he said, oh, I remember, 20 years ago, I saw somebody do that. And listen to what he said. You should always remember this. Shemois Chof, Pasuk Vav, and Aseres HaDibros. It says, V'oisa Chesed La'alofim. The Eivishter does Chesed for thousands of generations. And this is the key, the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Meshalem Lo'kol Chasdei Tekef HaMiyad. The Eivishter doesn't pay you back right away for all the good that you've done. Ela Boich Eloi Oifin Perayim. The Eivishter waits when you really need it. And then he pays you back, sometimes generations later. You have a kid that's in Eretz Yisrael. And the kid was supposed to be on that number one bus. And then the last minute he decides not to go on the bus. And that bus blows up. How did that kid get saved? Sometimes we're driving on the highway, or you're driving in the street, and you're about to get into the accident. You can feel it. Your body is bracing for the impact. And the last second it doesn't happen. Why didn't it happen? You know why? Because 50 years ago your grandfather did something great. Or 35 years ago your grandmother did something great. And David just said, I'm going to wait. I'm not going to give him an extra stereo system or a fancy dining room or let him have another $10,000 on the commission. What's that? That's nothing. I'll save his life. I'll wait until he needs it or his grandson needs it and he doesn't get on that bus at number one. And there are many, many people in this room, many people that will listen to these tapes, are good and wonderful people. And they wonder, I've done so much good. How come my neighbor seems to have much more nachas than I have? My neighbor seems to have much more money than I have. A person should never be despondent. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Meshalem Lo'kol Chasdei Tekef HaMiyad. David said doesn't pay right away, but you'll get it. You'll get it, and if you don't get it, your children will get it, or your grandchildren will get it. Nobody goes without being paid. I remember the day after 9/11, I got a call from the principal of our school, Mrs. Rachel Reifer, in Shevach High School. She's from England, and I remember I was one of the people that hired her. She was absolutely an extraordinary woman. And she really sent the school flying. The kids loved her. She had a tremendous yachas with the children. And she called me a few hours after 9/11. She said, you've got to come to the school and speak tomorrow. I said, what in the world am I going to say? What can you say about 9/11? And the whole world was so stunned. Nobody knew that it was all over yet. Three planes had crashed. The fourth didn't make it. But what was there to say? But I remember something that she said when she introduced me. And Rachmana Litzman, she was killed in a car accident a little over a year ago. Friday night in Muncie, she was walking on a dark street and she was killed Friday night. So at her shleishim, I repeated what she said when she introduced me on 9/11. And ever since that day, and I think from every time that we daven today, we should make a Kabbalah to say these words. These three little sentences after Aleinu that many of us are too busy to say and we forget about it because it's in Kleina Osias. Al Tiro Mipachat Tisai. Don't be afraid of sudden terror. A person cannot lose themselves. No matter what happens in the world, Al Tiro Mipachat Tisai. That's what she said about 9/11. That defined for me what 9/11 is all about. The greatest catastrophe, but a person, a yid, is never broken. And that's when I said at her shloshim, Friday night, suddenly she's killed. I remember it was the night I got up from Shiva. It was Motzei Shabbos. I got a call from her husband, and he's talking about a woman that died. And I thought he's talking about my mother. I thought he tried to bring Menachem model me. All of a sudden he's crying. And I know he can't be crying about my mother. He didn't know my mother. And finally, I'm listening. I said, Rabbi Reifer, what are you saying? And I couldn't believe it. He was telling me that he has to get a hold of the principal of the school. They have to make a levaya. And terrible. Terrible, terrible things can happen. But Altiro Mipachat Pisay. I want to tell you what Yankel Zamanowitz told me about his brother. See, Yankel Zamanowitz, as we said before, was not married. He used to go to a shir by a Rav Halberstam in Brooklyn, a Flatbush. And in that shir, every Shabbos, they used to learn Tanya. And the reason that they learned Tanya was because there was a fellow, Lubavitch, a fellow who davened in their shul, and he had been very ill. So the Rav felt for 15, 20 minutes in his chus, he should have a refuah shleima, will learn some svarim that the Lubavitch should learn. So they had a small seder in Tanya. This is what was learned by Avremel Zalmanowitz. And these are the comments that he made when the Rav, Rav Halberstam, learned in Perik Yud Ches Tanya. V'lachain, the Rav said, I feel a kal shebekalim, the most simple people. Upeishi Yisrael, moishim navsham al kedushas Hashem. They, a yid, every yid, has the capacity to give up his life for kedushas Hashem. V'soivlim iyunim koshim, a person could tolerate terrible, terrible pain. Likvar b'Hashem echod, v'afim heim burim v'amei ha'oretz, v'ein yoidim gadlos Hashem. A yid, even if he doesn't understand the godless Hashem, he can still be moisa nefesh and make a kiddush Hashem. It's within the capacity of each and every one of us. So at this point, Avremel said to Rav Halberstam, what do you mean a simple person can be makad Hashem Shemayim if he doesn't understand Hashem and he doesn't understand the godless Havayre? How is he going to be makad Hashem Shemayim? And the Rav said, let's go weiter. V'gam v'ma'at sheyoydim v'mizbayinim klal. The ain moisim nafsham machmas das v'zboinim v'shem. They're not moisim nefesh on an intellectual level. Ela belishum das v'zboinim mishum sham shem echod meir u'machaya kol nefesh. The Eibush gives every yid that capacity, even not on an intellectual level. A yid can be moisim nefesh. You know how Avremel died? It's unbelievable. President Bush, when he spoke about 9/11 in his first major address afterwards, spoke about Avremel Zalmanowitz. I felt bad that he didn't mention his name. But you know what happened with Avremel? The plane crashed in the first building. And his sister told me, she called him. She said, get out. He said, no, I can't get out. I have to help a fellow. A big, heavy, goyish fellow. He must have weighed close to 300 pounds. He was a paraplegic. He was paralyzed. And he had an attendant, a woman. The woman had been on the 68th floor. She just had gone for a coffee. Now she came down to the 42nd floor. And she was standing with this goyish fellow. And Avremel said, you go. I'll be with him until the cops come, until the firemen come, and we'll get him out. Because nobody, he couldn't walk down the stairs. He was too heavy. So they had to carry him down. So he was waiting until that paraplegic, the fireman, would come and help them take him down. And his sister told me, I'm calling you, I'm begging you, you don't know, we're watching on television. We see on the radio, everybody was running to any neighbor that had a television just to see. Just to see what was going on. Nobody could believe it. And she's pleading with him, please go out, you don't realize what's happening. And he says, I have to help this fellow, a goyish fellow. Imagine the Kiddush Hashem. And this is what President Bush said. Americans who are generous and kind, resourceful and brave, we have seen our national character and eloquent acts of sacrifice. Inside the World Trade Center, one man who could have saved himself stayed until the end at the side of his quadriplegic friend. That was Avremel Zalmanowitz. Just want to end with this thought. It says in the Pasuk in Dvarim Lamed Beis Yud Aleph, Kinesha Yori Kinoi, Al Goizalov Yirachef, Yifreitz Kinofov Yikacheo Yisrael Alef Rasai. The eagle wakes up its children, and it arouses its children, and then it carries the children, not on the bottom of its wings, because otherwise arrows could be shot. It takes it on top of its wings. So you take a look at Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch. The Matisyahu Salman once quoted this at an Aguda convention. And he says, Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch teaches us on this pasuk that the eagle cannot come down, as Rashi says, on the children. It's too heavy. So it just hovers over the children. And says, Kindalach, trust me. Come with me. You got to make the first step. You take the first step and I'll protect you. I can't come down, I'm too heavy. But you jump up on my wings and then I'll carry you. That's what they was just waiting. You know, Chazal tell us that there's a machlokes that we have, Kaviyocha, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. David says in Malachi Gimel Pasuk Zayin, Shuvu Eli, you return to me, Vashuv Aleichem, and then I'll return to you. You take the first step. Ama Hashem Tzvakos. At the end of Eicha, next to the last pasuk of Eicha, we say to Hashem, no, Hashem, you take the first step. Ashiveinu, Hashem Elecha, you return to us, then Vashuv, then we're going to return. Later, take a look at Eicha. You know, the last words in Ashuva, it's missing the hay. Why is it missing the hay? In my humble opinion, hey is a letter for tshuva. As we spoke 2 years ago, if you take a look at the Gemara Menachos, it says the world was created with a hay. A person could fall all the way down, but the door is always open for tshuva. That's what it means, behibaram, behibaram. So hay represents tshuva. That's why the fifth bracha shemaneser is hashivenu. The Torah says it begins with a hay, it ends with a hay. That's aseres yemei tshuva. That's the time to do tshuva. The Yavish is saying, tshuva elai, take the first step. You return to me, vashuva, jump on my wings. Trust me. Be willing to give up everything in this world. The Gashmias, the materialism, the secularism. Trust me, and I'll carry you. I'll take you to the promised land. I'll take you to Eretz Yisrael. I'll make Klal Yisrael to be somebody special. But Klal Yisrael in its stubbornness is saying, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha, you take the first step. But Hashuva, that's why the hay is missing. Because we have to wait until David says waiting, till we take the first step. That's the lesson, I believe, of Twin Towers. Terrible, terrible wake-up call. Because Eivisha wants to see that we're all going to trust him and that we're going to take the first step. And these Heilige Tag of Elul, right before Rosh Hashanah, less than 72 hours away, we'll all be saying, it's time to take it. Sifra Chaim, Sifra Mesim, Suha Lefanecha. We have to take the first step. Everyone has to make a commitment to Torah, Yer Shemayim, to Tefillah, to Chesed, Havas Yisrael. And if we take the first step, Eivisha will be Kinesha, Yor Kino, Eivisha will carry us, our confidence in Sharon, to bring us to Eretz Yisrael, because.